we're gonna jump.
You're recording.
You did.
Nothing goes good.
Folks, we're back on. We are being recorded. We are gonna move down to item number 10, so section five, item number 10. We are gonna be calling this individual, so you guys can still get situated as we're dialing. So this is number 10, board may review, discuss, and take action on C-2309 in regards to Raquel Mercado, possible unlicensed practitioner. So we are going to call her.
Hello?
Hi Raquel, this is Tracy at the Arizona Veterinary Board.
Oh, hi, I have somebody on hold on your main line.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they put me on hold because I wasn't sure if I had to call you or where.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get a response, from your attorney, so I didn't, wasn't even sure that you were gonna be present, so I appreciate you giving us a call.
Okay, okay, yeah, I think she just like, it's just like, yeah.
So the the board is here and you're on speakerphone with them, so they're gonna listen to them review the case and they might have some questions for you, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Okay, so yeah, this is on the sub. Hi, Ms. Mercado, just hang tight for a second, we're pulling up, this is on everybody's supplement.
I have a lot of list of things that so I just give her like a glance of whatever information I may had. But I have been like purchasing over the website for like breeder supply, mybreeders.com, Shoei, Revival Health, the plasma for homeopaths. So this is what I have been.
Time out. So, Ms. Mercado?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have you hold on for one moment.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm gonna first start by having Tracy or Victoria just kind of give us a little background on this.
Okay.
On this case.
Madam Chair, I think it's Dr. Mercado.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Well, it's unlicensed.
That's unlicensed.
Practitioner, so.
MD.
MD, yeah, she does state in the documents that she's an MD.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, I'm an obstetrician. Yes, I am.
Oh, that's right, okay. Okay.
Thank you. So we had gotten reports that Dr. Mercado had been providing care to publicly owned animals, specifically C-sections and ear cropping. Ms. Mercado did decline or deny those statements, saying that she does only treat her pets and that she's a breeder.
Okay. Okay, so should I go ahead and give her an opportunity to share? Okay, so Ms. Mercado, if you would like to go ahead and state your name for the record, and then I'm happy to give you up to 5 minutes to speak and just kind of share, you know, what it is you're doing, not doing.
Yeah, so my name is Raquel Mercado. I'm actually, yes, I am an OBGYN in town, and I actually co-own an average of 47 dogs, so I actually have people coming into like my house for my own like dogs that I have. I actually have French bulldogs, American bullies, and two bulldogs, but then are not all in here. I have been facing issues with my neighbor who have been poisoning, have been like actually coming to my animal control. He has been threatening my family, and all because he lives illegally in the backyard of his house with in a trailer. So last time I got a threatening email saying that he was going to do everything possible to try to destroy me because he knows who I am. And in all honesty, you know, like I have been having team animal control review my house and everything over once a month there, like for the past year, and coding and everything. So, and they all know that it is that person. So I actually have been breeding my dogs or having them since 2018. And it got to the point that I have to find a veterinary locally in Nogales, Arizona. It's an hour and a half drive from here because it got to the point that my vets were just offering me euthanasia on emergency cases. And just for observation, for administration of IV fluid, and I am a little bit emotional because this happened 3 weeks ago. They quote me $10,000. And with $10,000, I can provide not only for myself, my kids, my whole kennel, and my co-owned dog. And then they said, if you cannot provide the $10,000 just for observation and a Hail Mary, we have to euthanize your dog. And I'm like, I just need you to stabilize my dog who's teething so I can get to my veterinarian in Nogales who can always like help me. So most of the times, you know, what I do is I just like transfer over there on my dogs and I recover them in my house because I have over six people that are co-owners of my animals and they actually are caregivers and they have been. Even if I leave my house for vacations or something, I have people living in my house. And then all I do is just like transporting them. They do the services and then I recover them in my house. Because once you have one dog, two dogs on a salary, it's really hard to spend $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 on when the same medications, the same procedures, 1 hour from here can be done for $300, $200, $800. And that is what I have been doing. I have Veterinaria del Sol in Nogales, Arizona. I have subscribed to multiple online veterinary services. I actually, as you guys know, I'm actually a practicing licensed OBGYN. So I adore my animals and I care for them as much as I care for people and my kids. So I, of course, with my medical knowledge, I have like learned after 4 years of losing animals and treating conditions and everything, I can transcribe my knowledge to them. And I actually supply medications because as I mentioned before, in my house I have 10 dogs, but I co-own over 47 dogs. In where one of them are, I call my vet, Ariel, at Veterinaria del Sol, and he's like, Raquel, you have this medication, just give this. You have this medication, just give that. And then with the, like, I think if you guys have seen through all this, like, years, people who have been and learning to know, a little bit of knowledge and of how to treat certain basic conditions. If you go to websites such as Revival Health, Homeopath, Shoei, Amazon, you go to your tractor supplies, you can get antibiotics, you can get vaccinations, you can get things like that. That not only all started after COVID to try to provide for your animal self-care, but also when you have like a large amount of animals that you want to get in well-being. So I spend the money to just have everything on stock here. And I have incubators, I have oxygen concentrations, I have everything that in over six occasions that I can provide records of emergency opportunities. I have been billed over a total of $25,000 in a year just for 2 hours of care, CPR on my dog. And it's appalling. It's just like, and this last time happened in November 7th, in where I took one of my dogs after my neighbor started throwing things in my backyard and he started becoming, we thought that it was a big heat stroke, but what heat stroke is at 65 degrees here with water and that's running. So he actually is a mature dog of 2 years old, excellent pedigree, excellent health, and he's starting acting like he was having nystagmus, he was having tremors, he was not working well, salivating. So I couldn't, I did all the CPR that I can do. I go to the FEMA vet and they quote me $10,000 for 48 hours of care and they couldn't guarantee me. So things like this is what prompts me to just go to Nogales and supply medication for my own dogs, you know? I just don't do anything else for people that are not my dogs or my co-owners, you know? I don't know who is this person that they say Nunez, because, you know, like, that's not my co-owners. And yeah, like, everything that I can say, I provided this for my dog. And that's what I wanted to, I don't have a lawyer that is like, she's just my board lawyer that, you know, like, is provided by a company that I used to use before. But, you know, like, I don't know. I didn't even like have any idea that, because since everything is like advertised and it's in the websites, and you call them and they can actually tell you, oh, if your dog has bloody diarrhea, you just keep this coccidiomet, you can just provide this, and then they send you the medication, and that's a website like at Revival Health, and then you have a lot of options, and it doesn't look like you have to go to the vet. You go to the vet when you have 1,700 dogs like this, you're gonna be broke, and then this is what I think the knowledge. On top of that, I'm a 143 reserve because I actually purchased into the company, and every person doesn't have to have a veterinary license. You can have you just have to be able to invest in $15,000 on the machine and just have the machine sent to you, and you can just like calibrate your progesterone. And that's actually what I do for my breeding dogs. And in all honesty, I have to say, this is not a make me rich money. It's just that I started as a... Okay. As a
so, Ms. Mercado, I do need you to kind of wrap it up here, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, like what I said, I just do this as an emergency option, and I do it because I care for them, and I do it not to make money, just to maintain my animals, you know? Veterinary, like all my upkeep of my animals in my possession are over $7,100 a month. And like, it's just a way of investing, and I have all the evidence of all the medications, all this stuff, everywhere where I get it, and all the websites that, you know, it's not providing medical veterinary services, it's just like providing for your care, you know?
Okay.
And if so, I knew better, I would not have done any of this, you know, before.
Okay. Thank you. I would now like to ask any of my board members if they have any questions for you specifically.
Hi, this is Dr. James, and I just wanted to clarify to make sure I heard this correctly, that you currently have 47 animals?
But they are not in my house. It's just for example. Like, I have right now 10. I have 3 French Bulldog Flossy care, like full Flossies. I have 3 puppies, and then I have owners who have 7 of, like, in where, you know what is co-owning means? In where, like, they actually have their home, and I just actually help them out with, if they decided to breed it or not, I just get a puppy out of them or something like that. So I have over 20 of dogs that are in co-owning with 3 other, for 4 other breeders.
So you have written documentation on all those dogs that you co-own them?
Yeah, I have, and they're all registered, and they all have their vaccination records, and they all have, you know, like they have their supplementations. They are, in all honesty, they are like from $5,000 to $10,000 dogs. So of course they have, like, they live better than myself. I don't sleep, you know? But in my house, honestly, I have only 10 of them. And they are including 5 puppies from my last litter.
Okay, Dr. Nosley, did you have a question?
Yes. At your residence, have you done any surgical procedures on these dogs at your residence, cesarean, ear cropping, anything like that?
Not in my house. What we do is that we just like if it takes me 1 hour to get to the, and I just remove the stitches, and then I, for example, if my dog has like a fight with another one, I have the staple bones, and I know how to push her, you know, for my, like, because they fight, and I'm not gonna let them until I get to the veterinary.
Okay, so your answer is no. You haven't done any procedures at your place of residence.
For example, like I have the staple gun. I know how to do like minor stuff that don't require, you know, like sedation.
I'm sorry, this is Dr. Wright.
Like D-Claw, for example, I don't do like major surgeries on them, you know. I know how to like staple guns and how to like take off the stitches and things like that for my dogs. I do, that's basic, but no okay. major surgery.
Okay, I think you yeah. answered the question, thank you.
Yeah.
Another question, and then I think Dr. Wright has one. And any time on these, when you do things for pets, co-owned or not, is there an exchange of money between you and the co-owner regarding?
Just for the co-owned, because it's part of the, it's part of a contract. You know, if I buy medication for $200, you know, and it's my dog, we divide the price in between it, you know? So that's it. It's just because it's a co-own, so we actually are both responsible. So when I purchase an order of Amazon for Estromate or for like Royal Canning, or I go to Tractor Supply.
Okay, and it's thank you. And when you do, up. There's no additional fee that you collect on
no,
top of
it's
what
just
you
whatever
pay
I spend. Whatever I spend.
Okay.
That's what we charge.
Okay. Dr. Wright has a question now.
So I have a couple yes. questions. This is Dr. Wright. You had mentioned just a few minutes ago that you'll staple incisions. What do you mean by stapling incisions? Where are those incisions coming from?
I mean, not incisions. For example, if you have a dog bite and it has a flap of skin, and it's actually, I have a staple gun, and I actually staple until, like, or I can just, like, throw up a quick stitch until I get stabilized the dog and get it checked.
So
do you
have to staple any kind of incisions that you have actually made in the dog with a surgical blade? Is that what incision
means?
No,
sir. When they fight, you know, I have dogs and they fight because when they get in deep, and if I have two dogs that my kids or somebody left them outside, they start fighting, and when they are, I don't know if you have noticed, but if you have more than one dog and they are like in heat or they are pregnant, they get extremely emotional and they start fighting. So I'm not gonna let them like with the flap of skin, you know, so I have a staple gun, you know, like, and I actually—
Yes, well, I'm asking you though is, do you ever incise into the dogs themselves? Do you do any kind of procedures that you have to staple back closed? When you say incision, that means something that you've created. Have you
done that? No. It's just, not only, and if I have to drain, let's say in a paw, there is like a pot of pockets, I can incise that, but you don't have to push her that back. It would just like, but that, you know, it's something, like, that's not like some, so I would do that on myself if I have like a pot of bucket.
Do you lance, so you lance abscesses, do you use any kind of medications when you do that, or do you just cut
no.
into them and lance it?
Just like Betadine, and if I have like the from the antibiotics that I have here, that is like ampicillin, I just give the dog that. That's it.
So you cut into the dog without any kind of pain medications?
No, because it's just an abscess. The tissue is dead.
It's just an abscess, but it's in the body. That's all I'm asking. Do you cut into the body without any pain medications, or do you use injectable pain medications to help with this?
No, because it's an abscess. For humans, I don't do that when they have vulvar abscesses. You know, like...
You don't like any human for an abscess, Lance?
Once they have, like, a Bartholin, if you put lidocaine, the woman will kick at you. You just, like, lance it, and then you just, like... It relieves the pressure and the pain.
Okay.
So, like, what we do is we just lance it and then all the pus come out and that's it.
Without the benefit of pain medications, you just let someone feel that?
You can do meloxicam afterwards, you know? But, like,
so
do you use
meloxicam in these patients after you do that kind of thing? Because that's a prescription drug.
Meloxicam is a pill. It's a pill. It's like a ibuprofen on humans. Meloxicam is Tylenol for dogs.
Okay.
And I have medications that my vet has provided me. I have like meloxicam and I have ampicillin. I have like over three bottles of each, just in case something like this happens.
Three bottles of what? I'm sorry.
Because I have
three bottles of what? I'm sorry.
amphetamine and meloxicam, because, you know, I'm not gonna let my dog like die, you know, like first of all, I love them, and second of all, they are extremely expensive, just not to like care for them.
Well, and I appreciate that. I have one more question for you. You mentioned that it takes you an hour to drive a dog to go do a procedure. What do you mean by that?
Nogales.
Because I go to Nogales.
Okay. So you take, where do you take them to do these procedures? What procedures do you
veterinaria,
do?
Veterinaria del Sol, and the veterinary doctor is Dr. Ariel. At Veterinaria del Sol in Nogales, Arizona. I live in Tucson, Arizona, so it's only an hour.
Yes.
Just to get.
Uh-huh. So you're crossing into Mexico, or you're transporting the dogs to a procedure to do here in the United States?
In Mexico. Mexico.
So you're transporting the dogs across the international line.
Yes. Okay. And I have an incubator, and I have a truck who has a plug, so my dogs are safe, and everything is like, I don't do anything like reckless. Actually, if I cannot just do it, like I have four people who can cross the border, and they actually just like charge me for gas. That's it. Because you have to understand, I wish I was a volunteer on the SPCA in New York City. Meanwhile, I was doing my residency. But it's really hard to get care here, and then you go across the border, and it's $0.10 what the care here, and I'm a physician. I don't charge. You know how much I charge for a vaginal delivery, including 9 months of care, the overnight, 3 days that the patient is in the hospital, and 6 weeks, $1,750 or $2,500. You know, I go to ask for emergency. That's what I have a progesterone machine, because I check the reverse progesterone, so it gives me time not to have to rush in the middle of the night. Plus, I have five people who are helping me with the dogs. That my dad was living here. I have my cousin. I have three friends, and they actually are dual citizens, so they can cross over there. We have excellent communications with six different veterinaries over there, and I don't think that's illegal. I think that's caring for your dog in the situation that we are. If you tell me that I cannot do that, I will not do anything like that. But it's impossible that I'm gonna see my dog almost die. And then, you know, like I got quarantined the other day, and they closed my doors for me, and they said until I don't pay $2,500, they were not gonna do CPR on me. And I start crying in the street and like asking for help. And they just say, if you don't calm down, and I'm like, how am I gonna calm down if my animal is dying in the table, and you guys are asking me for my credit card?
Okay, Ms.
So
Mercado.
Respectfully, yeah, I'm sorry.
We have a lot on our agenda today.
I apologize. Me too. It's okay. Just like I said, you guys tell me what to do, and I will stop doing it. But this is not something that I'm doing for beneficial time. I am doing because I care for my animals, like I care for my kids and my pets. And if I don't, I will not put in danger neither myself or anybody.
I just need you to pause now. I would like to have some discussion just amongst the board members, and then you can just listen in for a moment, okay?
So much. Thank you.
Madam Chair, can I speak?
Yes.
I think we're going round and round here, and it's clear to me that it's not clear to Dr. Mercado that we're not questioning what she is doing for her animals, herself, period. We have nothing to do with that. But she cannot ever charge for services for somebody else's animal. And the only thing I have a question about going to crossing the border is, you'd have to check with the state veterinarian, but you may have to have a health certificate to go back and forth. Because I don't think you just cross the border when you want to cross the border. You have to have a health certificate to cross animals at the border, and I think that's the same for any animal. When you're crossing the border, you got to have a health certificate. I would check on that with the state veterinarian. That's not our purview.
Yes, that would not be us.
All we want to know is if you're treating animals for somebody else, that needs to halt. And if that's happening, you will get a cease and desist, and we'll turn it over to the county attorney down there.
Right.
But if that's not happening, then you don't have anything to worry about.
And again, okay, thank you.
I'm concerned because you have all these co-ownership agreements, but if, again, if it's co-owned by someone else and you're providing a service that they're then paying you for, that would not be allowed.
Okay. No, I am telling you, I was doing this out of desperation, no honesty.
Okay.
And it goes because I have lost so much of my animals.
I know. Okay, Ms. Mercado, thank you. We have heard that several times now. I appreciate that. Victoria, our executive director, wants to say something.
Madam Chair, I am so sorry.
Mark, I think we just want to be careful that we're not telling her specifically what to do or what not to do. There's some schools thought that even if it's your own animal, and you're doing something like surgery, it can be considered cruelty. So I think we want to be careful not telling her that that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And, sorry for those.
No, Dr. Mercado, the board needs to discuss here. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, okay, it's like I went to the website.
No.
Pause.
Madam Chair, also believe I heard it said that she hires other people to work on her dogs.
It was to transport.
Yes.
To the vet.
Oh, okay. Not surgery. Not okay.
No.
Okay. Dr. James or Dr. Nosley?
I'm concerned. Reading the complaint, it was very detailed.
Yes.
More so than just someone trying to make a false accusation. That was my impression on the detailed complaint regarding what was going on the premises. That was my concern. And yes, you can do whatever to your own animals, but to Victoria's point, you can't be doing surgery on your backyard, in a shed, on your table.
I think you could not probably in a shed, because that wouldn't be sterile, but I guess the way I read it is, as long as what she's doing is not abuse, she can care for her animals how she wants to care for them. We're not judging abuse. That's not what we do. So if we say you can work on your own animals, provided they're being well taken care of, then if somebody else files abuse, like charges for abuse, that's on that. That's a different issue.
There's other things that drugs.
Mm-hmm.
What about the drugs?
Yeah.
What about the drugs to do these things? Where did they come from?
Yeah, propofol is not controlled, but pretty much anything else that you're going to be using for surgery is going to be controlled.
And secondly,
she said she got them from a prescription from a veterinarian.
Yeah, you can't use meloxicam and ampicillin for surgery.
And if it's a prescription, you can't just stock your house with the prescription you got from the vet and use it however you want.
I agree with that, but we don't enforce where she gets drugs from.
It has to be for a specific animal.
Right? We don't control
and that's
where she gets
that's where a referral to the county is probably the best option, because they can investigate. They can actually go to the premise and say, okay, is there something going on?
Well, it sounds like
the
county has been there a couple times.
But is there proof?
But they have been there 3 times already, and they have no clue. Like, there are no complaints. My neighbor is the one who keeps, calling and calling. Code has been here. The Pima Animal Control has been 4 times, and they have been passing with flying colors. It's not like they can see, and they come at different times, and it's not like,
Chair, this is out of order.
I apologize.
As a board, need to focus on,
is this
practicing care, outside of having a license, and then the other issues, where she's getting drugs from, how she's storing them, allegations of abuse, all of that falls to somebody else. So if the neighbor wants to make a complaint and file against with another organization, great, but all we need to do is say, is she practicing veterinary medicine without a license?
I have a suspicion yes.
Yeah.
I have a suspicion yes too, but I don't think I can prove it, which makes me go,
no, that's
right now I don't
on.
Have yeah. enough to say that you yeah. are. The rules are you cannot be working on anyone else's pet that you don't own, and you can't be charging fees for it. If you're not doing that, then great. And if you are, you might want to consider stopping immediately, because you will find yourself in trouble.
And you can't say, hide behind this co-owner. I'll do this. We've got to be a co-owner.
If you were talking about anything other than veterinary medicine, you would have to be able to use that co-owner. In this case, you'd have to be able to prove in some other case that you owned that dog, that you had a partial on. So you have to have a bill of sale, a contract, I mean, something legally binding outside of just saying, yes, I do this, we share expenses. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to hold up in another purview.
And I agree, that's not our jurisdiction here, but we have the ability to refer this to the proper jurisdiction. I think that's probably the best recommendation. Yeah.
Okay, so what,
and we can
do I have a motion from anyone?
So I make a motion to refer this to the county prosecuting office for further investigation.
In closed case?
In closed case, yes.
Thank you. Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to refer this to the county prosecutor and then close it on our end. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Okay. We have two nays. Okay, the motion carries. Thank you for being on the call with us today. Okay, we are gonna go to, I apologize, we're behind on our informal, but we are gonna finish up one more of the initial investigative reviews.
So just one quick question on that. Is board staff gonna follow up with her to tell her what the rules are? Because I have a feeling she did not understand what we were saying.
She has an attorney, So we have the education letter. We wouldn't be telling her what the rules are. Yeah. We just have the letter that.
I mean, I just feel like she is thinking because we were voted to refer this to another agency that she's going to get in trouble for something that I don't know that she's going to get in trouble for because I don't know that it's going on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think she feels because we referred it, she thinks that she's going to get in trouble when in actuality, we referred it for an investigation. If she's not doing these things, she's not going to get in trouble, but I want to make sure that she knows that because I think it's unfair to let her sit for months on end not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, I would hope her lawyer would let her know.
Yeah.
The investigations aren't bad. Investigations, for some reason,
we think it's bad. Yeah.
So.
Okay, so we are moving back to case number 22-143 in regards to Catherine Mueller, DVM. Mm-hmm. Tracy, if you can read the summary for us.
Yes, case 22-143, the complainant Karen Mueller, the respondent is Catherine Mueller, DVM. On April 19th, 2022, Leo, an 8-year-old male domestic long hair cat, was presented to respondents to have his ears evaluated. After examining the cat, respondent discussed her findings with complainant and recommended a skin ear cytology and a fungal test due to the hair loss and crusting. Blood work was also recommended due to the cat hiding. However, the cat would need to be sedated to obtain a blood sample. Complainant approved the skin ear cytology and fungal test. Complainant also approved an antibiotic injection and medicated wipes. The cat was discharged with recommendations to have the cat rechecked in 1 week with the primary care veterinarian. On May 17th, 2022, complainant called to report that the cat was losing more hair on his head, hiding more, and eliminating inappropriately. A recheck evaluation was recommended. On June 6th, complainant advised respondent staff that the cat was humanely euthanized at Red Mountain Animal Hospital. Complainant stated the reason for the cat's declining was due to the cat's mistreatment by respondent's premises. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue, no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, thank you. We don't have the respondent here, but we have Mr. Stoll. Are you monitoring or?
Monitoring
on. Okay.
Karen Mueller.
Yep, you were next. So the complainant is here, Ms. Karen Mueller, if you'd like to come forward, and we can give you up to 5 minutes to speak.
Okay. My name's Karen Mueller. I think you hit some of the important things that happened to Leo there, but we took him, we've owned cats for 17 years, and we took him there for an external ear infection, which in the past has been treated with medication, wipes, or ointment. We had no reason to think that this was gonna last 13 hours. So the cat went in at 10 o'clock in the morning as it was scheduled, and we kept calling and calling and calling, and about 4:30, the veterinary tech told me that the cat was doing okay, the doctor still hadn't seen him, but she was putting the pheromones in his water so he would stay comfortable. I'm not sure what kind of abuse, after listening to this, I don't know what kind of abuse happened to the cat. I use these dispensers at home. I have multiple cats at three. And you have to put it into an outlet. And I thought that was the case. I thought there was no way they could put that pheromone solution in his water. I thought that was impossible. But when I went to change my cat's pheromone solution, if you're determined, you can open that up and put it in the water. So I really don't have any way to say that's what caused him to get sick. When we brought him home, he hid for almost a whole month. He stopped eliminating in his cat box. We were finding patches of hair with follicle bulbs on it. I just would like to, if I can, just let me show you what Leo looked like before he went to the vets. That's the middle there, with his two partners in crime. He was an alpha cat, but you'd never know because he was so sweet and so easy to get along with. Once we were finally able to find out where he was hiding, his back legs gave out. He wasn't able to jump. And so we found him balding. The hair on his tail was gone. He couldn't jump anymore. When I picked him up, he eliminated in my arms to hold him. He just voided in my arms. We knew where he was by the cat feces. The other cats would not interact with him at all. They wanted nothing to do with him. So we just got desperate. And towards the end of May, the condition was just getting worse. So that's when we took him to see Dr. Hines at Red Mountain Animal Clinic. And he was heartbroken. He put his arms around us. And he said, I am so sorry. There is nothing I can do for this cat. So my feeling, our feeling, we may not know what exactly happened during his 13-hour stay. But our guess is some abuse or negligence happened early on and that he was watched for observation. Dr. Mueller did not call us back until 11:15 that night. So that's just unheard of for an ear infection, an external ear infection. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I think that she's hiding behind, I don't know what. Was it the veterinary tech that told us there was pheromones in the water? I guess if you're determined to put them in, you could, but maybe it was something else. I don't know. But something happened. I never got that cat again. I never saw that cat back. And I think someone needs to be responsible. And on top of that, to add insult to injury, she told us we needed to pay $200 for emergency surgery. Procedure. The cat didn't go in for an external ear infection in an emergency manner, but that's what she told us had to happen. I don't care that much. We don't care that much about the money. But we never saw this cat again. When he came back to us, he was a neurotic mess. And I'm not kidding. I mean, we found these hair follicles attached to the hair we found. You can see the bulb on the follicle, and the grooves in his head were deep, where he'd been scratching, and he couldn't jump anymore. And that's not the cat we brought in. And I think that's pretty much it. Oh, when we took him to Dr. Hines to have him put down the 1st of June, he'd lost 4 to 5 pounds of his weight, so about a quarter of his weight. And so that, you know, contributed to his impaired condition. Can you think of anything else, John?
No, can't. He is the first time he's been put in.
So come forward, sir.
Yeah, you need to say your name.
Oh, sure.
I'm John Bowler, and Karen Sedgman, and Leo, after we brought him home from his ordeal at the veterinarian clinic, we've always had good care, most all of us go to, but something happened to Leo. When he came back, he was like a crazy cat. And he come near us, he would hide, he would run and hide, and all the other things they said. He was a complete mess. It was very sad to see this occur to him, and having put to sleep, so.
Yeah, we have his litter mate, and he was healthy. Tim, he's 8, is really not very old for Pat. I mean, you can have him as long as 20 years. We have a Maine Coon cat that's 16 years old. So if something went wrong, and what they told us at first, Pat, was that nothing happened to him out of the ordinary.
The pheromone thing in the water deal was just the thing that, like, you poison the cat, okay, so. That's what we thought, but we probably should have overcome our emotions and had some more tests done on him, and all, but we didn't want to put him through any more trauma than he had already been through just to pick him up and hold on to him. He was scared to death, you know. It's,
yeah.
Awful to see your friend feel that way about you, you know?
So it said on the investigative committee review that they were going to, or it's been recommended, to dismiss issue with no violation, and I would ask the board to reconsider that. I would ask the board to maybe go back and look at the doctor's notes, go back and look, see what happened that day, if there's any documentation as to what could have happened, you know, that was maybe overlooked. I don't think that she should be allowed to forget this incident.
It may not be the fault of the veterinarian, but the technician said something about the pheromones in the water.
That she put it in the water.
And that,
but like I said, when I
said they had other problems there at that clinic with other cats, with that happening, is that, well, I don't know the person's name.
Cammy.
Is she still there or what? Yeah.
But I just don't think she should be allowed to walk away from this without further investigation. Because it kind of feels like we're being blown off when there could be something really wrong going on there.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here today. You may step back now. And Dr. James, you are the lead investigator on this one.
Yeah, so thank you for coming. We definitely, we are very sorry for your loss. Certainly
so
not
precious.
Easy.
thank you for your time.
So this case is a difficult one because it goes to what we deal with on a lot of these, which is kind of a he said, she said. Like, we're having different things being said. I mean, from pheromones in the water to know we run a diffuser in the cat room, like, I've never heard of a veterinary clinic putting it in the water, so that, and that's not what's documented as far as what happened, so that's a little bit weird. I think the other thing that was communication issues around this practice, whether this was an appointment that the cat was due to be seen at that time versus this was a work-in and we were going to work it in amongst all the other emergencies, and that's why it got delayed. So I think that was part of the, you know, why would the cat have sat there for an ear infection that long? Well, the reason it sat there is because it didn't get seen because other emergencies were coming in. But I don't think the owners were necessarily informed of that, or at least didn't understand how that process works. And that's something that I think is happening more and more with just how backed up clinics are. So I think there were a lot of issues in this case as far as with communication. Medically, in this cat, you know, I went through it. I've gone through all the medical records, so it has had a second set of eyes on it. Actually, it's had quite a few sets of eyes on it. But I don't see anything medically that I would say was done wrong in this case. I think the cat, there was something else going on for sure, and certainly the cat went home, and we don't know what happened over the period of time that it was in hiding, and I think that a lot can happen in that period of time. But I can't say that there was abuse that was done at the clinic that led to the outcome of this pet. And medically, what was documented looked to be within norm.
Was there some that the cat had been hiding out prior to the visit?
Yes.
Did I see that in there?
Yes, it's in the medical record.
It's in the medical record that the cat had been hiding out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah.
Which could be. It could be a major factor. Something else, like you
I
said,
think there
something,
was something
else
going
on
that,
the cat, yeah.
that wasn't detected. But the cat didn't go back for a follow-up yeah. right? So, because we couldn't find the cat. So, like, there's a lot of, like, well, I don't know. It didn't get better, but it didn't also get additional care, right? Like, because we couldn't find it. So, but from the actual time that it was in the clinic, I didn't see anything that was done medically inaccurate.
No, and I'd like to, because I know there's some concern over, I don't know where this whole in the water thing came from. I don't know if it was maybe misunderstood, misheard, or what, but I want to address that because that is a concern. And did we get some kind of toxic dose of something? So, like I said, as the complaint stated, there's really no way to administer it in water. You'd have to really try hard to get a bottle cap open. So, I mean, someone's going to deliberately do that if they do something like that. That would be possible. So if we follow through that logic and just say it was done, then we have to look at the contents of what's inside of the feed away diffuser. And really, the contents are very, very safe, thankfully. I mean, the LD50 on that is hugely high. Basically, what it is it's a synthetic facial pheromone. So it's just when they're rubbing their face on you, we think they're loving on us. They're just marking us and saying you're mine now. So it makes them comfortable that way. But the carrier, the other stuff that's in there is basically Everclear alcohol. It's just alcohol. It's ethanol. So it's not going to cause other than some kind of alcohol poisoning or something like that, which is a very difficult thing to do for a small amount like that. It's not going to cause any issues that way. But I did want to address that because I know that is a concern. But feel away is a very, very safe thing. Now, that's not saying something else wasn't possible to put in water, like a rescue remedy or some other kind of common thing there. It's not in the medical record. So I'm thinking it's more of a confusion on what was heard and interpreted as opposed to what actually happened, because I can't even think of something I put in the water. But I just wanted to address that because that does sound like it's a concern, but it is a very, very safe thing, even if it is ingested. There's been an instance of children ingesting it, actually re-vomiting something back up would be more concerning than leaving it down, because if you aspirated alcohol, that can be problematic. So I just wanted to address that concern because I know there was some was something given, and it was like a feel-away pheromone toxic to the cat.
I think that was kind of the crux of what happened, right? The cat was there for a long period of time. A technician said something was put in the water. Whether the technician meant to say that, or whether it was just said unclearly, or whether it was, like, I don't know what happened there, but from what we have, nothing was put in the water. It was diffused into the room just like any other practice would do. So I just don't think we have anything that says there was anything wrong here. All right, so in the case of 22-143, then I would make a motion that we support the findings of the investigative committee and find no violations of the Practice Act or rules.
Second. Have a motion and a second to dismiss case 22-143. There's any further discussion?
I guess I would add on, because it wasn't brought up, that it appears in records that at least around the ears, hair loss was already happening. And that was one of the reasons it was brought in. So hair loss later, was that a progression? More likely that than something new that happened in the hospital.
Well, if we would look at it from the standpoint of there was, as we all think, something else going on with this cat, then the stress of being in the hospital
would make it worse.
Sure. And would go home very stressed, especially if we were ill to start with.
Yep. Motion and a second to dismiss case 22-143. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for being here. We're now going to get set up for our informal interview. This is case 22-135 in regards to Carter Meal PBM. We're going to call both the respondent complainant or just the respondent?
Yep.
Okay.